Welcome in to the On Enquirer podcast. It is Jeremy Warner and Joey Wagner. It's after dark. It is after midnight. It is now Friday, September 4th, and we are here for the first post-game reaction podcast. We are live on our YouTube channel for you eight crazies with us right now. Hopefully that grows as people go through the night, but I can't blame you guys for going to sleep. Well, we are talking about an Illinois victory, 42-23 over UAB. Really wasn't that close at the end, as UAB got a late touchdown to cover the spread. Bad beat for a lot of people out there, Joey. But this game was in doubt right before halftime, and even going into the third quarter after halftime. Some concerning things happened on defense, but a lot of encouraging things happened on offense. We'll break it all down. It's back to hits and misses time, Joey. But Illinois got a bigger test than I think they thought they would in that first half, at least.
Yeah, bigger test than a lot of us thought they would. And maybe it wouldn't have, the score may not have been there if the defense could have gotten off the field. It was just an absurd level or amount of plays that UAB ran in the first half compared to what Illinois ran. I'm trying to pull that up now here. It was really, let me see, first half. I'm sorry, I should have been more prepared for this. UAB had a time of possession of 22-7. I mean, that's. You want your offense on the field, and your defense couldn't get off the field. I mean, you bowed up in the red zone, but allowed them to hang around, and you let a team hang around playing with fire a little bit. I don't care if it's UAB. That's a game you had the offensive firepower, should have been able to put that a little more distance between the two of them in the first half. And Illinois didn't do it, and it was really a little bit disheartening first half for Illinois.
Yeah, and it was huge. They needed a prayer, and Ty Robinson calling in that Hail Mary at the end of the half for 54-yard touchdown from Caden Hauser, who showed some arm strength on that one. That really swung the momentum of this game, because if this would have been a one-point game at halftime, UAB has all the momentum. Colin Dixon told me after the game they were feeling confident at that point, and you were concerned about where your defense would be. So if you guys want to weigh in, you are more than welcome to do so. And Joey, let's start with our hits and misses. And I hate to do it in a win, because there were some real positives, especially on the offensive side of the ball. But the biggest story here was Bobby Houck's defense in its first game, really underwhelming. And every fear that you had about the defensive front, and tonight I think it was more the linebackers than the defensive line, but every fear you had about the rush defense showed up tonight. And every fear you had about the defense and the personnel showed up tonight, because UAB controlled the line of scrimmage. They broke tackles over and over again, especially in that first half. They had 413 yards of offense, 194 yards on the ground, 4 yards per carry. And Ryder Burton had a couple sacks in there, right? That you know, was negating some of the positive yardage that they had. But if this team's going to run on you like that, and these running backs, which are talented, there's a former Georgia transfer in Rod Robinson, Bam McReynolds is a really good player at Louisiana Monroe. But if these guys are going to do this, what's Duke going to do? Let alone what Ohio State and Oregon and Iowa are going to do. Illinois looked light up front, Joey, on the defensive line. They don't look that big. But then the linebackers, I just thought, had an atrocious game of tackling. The tackling was terrible tonight, which Brett Bielema explained is they didn't tackle barely at all during training camp, the least in his 18 years as a head coach. But still, Joey, linebacker was a big question. It's an even bigger question for me after this game.
Yeah, it's really disappointing, their inability to tackle and to keep that running game in check. I mean, that's, you said you hate starting off with this after a win. I get it, but there's no bigger story than this. You wanted the defense to come out and be more emphatic. I mean, you know this defense is going to come with some chunk plays. Some missed tackles are going to hurt you, but it just felt like they were just kind of behind from the get-go in terms of just bringing down UAB. As I'm pulling up, yeah, these clearly aren't updated on PFF yet in terms of missed tackles, but the linebacker play needed to be better for Illinois. I thought the Mike linebacker play had some good moments. I thought there were moments with this defense where you could see it, right? You could see some exotic pressures. You could see guys coming from different spots, and you felt good about that. And you were in the face of UAB, and you were stopping them. But then there were just times where, you know, a run that should have been 2 or 3 yards gets now 5 or 6, and that's what keeps your defense on the field. And I mean, no one's going to be mad that the offense is scoring in 3 plays a drive. Like, that's awesome if you can swing that, but you just can't be out there 12 plays, and those missed tackles allowed them to keep going. Credit for bowing up in the red zone the times they did, and some of that was UAB kind of handed them a card with some penalties. But yeah, you wanted a better first impression of this defense than that. And I think it, I mean, I don't want to speak for anyone there, but I think in their heart, they wanted a better first impression than what that was.
You want a proof of concept, right? And that would have been completely disrupting everything UAB does because you're better than them. You should be more talented than them. And not getting run over. Like, they just felt like they were run over at times. And they just couldn't get off the field, Joey. Average drive went 10 plays for 46 yards for UAB. 5 minute time of possession. By the end of this game, they had the ball for 41 minutes. Now, part of that was the offense's quick hits in the first half, but you still just couldn't get off the field at any point. Six of UAB's eight drives went for 10 plus yards or 10 plus plays in this game. So that's concerning going into the rest of this schedule and every fear we had about this defensive front is there. But like, some of the movement was good. We'll get into a big positive on the defense here in a little bit on the defensive line, but I thought there was some real disruption in the defensive line. But then the linebackers weren't – a lot of times they were there, they just couldn't make the play. I talked to Kerry Davis at halftime, and he said it felt like the linebackers were closing their eyes. And then the running back would just juke them or run through them or roll off of them, and linebackers got to make more plays. I know Ishkante had the pick six at the end of this game, thanks to Will Holmes on that one. For the pressure on it. He had six tackles in this game, but it felt like there was just as many missed tackles. James Kreutz, I thought, missed some. And Grant Bierman got beat in coverage on one of the touchdowns. So it's just, man, the linebacker's a big question mark. It looked like a lot of guys that hadn't played a lot, Joey, and a lot of guys that hadn't played a lot yet in this defense. And this defense relies on linebackers to make good tackles. So concerning week one.
Yeah, concerning. And like I understand Daniel Brown was out. My issues weren't with the mic. It was with that other group of linebacker. I do wonder if there's going to be if we're on the cusp of seeing maybe some more Grant Bierman, because I do think he flashed outside of the pick six, which, as you mentioned, not to take anything away from Ishkante, good moment for Ishkante. Will Holmes did that. Ishkante said, yeah, he's the reason for that pick six. Yeah, Grant Bierman had flashes. I think he flashed in his time on that field probably more than any other linebacker outside of the obvious pick six. So I do wonder, as he gets healthier and he's able to get out there and practice, if that comes up. And we do have to say, in terms of the missed tackles, Brett Bielema says it's the least amount he's tackled in practice in his career. Injuries mounted, and I think he got very nervous. He said, you know, we couldn't really afford it. We dialed it back. I do buy that because they were very banged up at times in training camp. I also think that's Brett Bielema putting that on him. There's no way they're going to go into this next week saying, we didn't tackle enough. And no, that's going to be addressed. And yeah, that's going to be addressed and taken care of. But we do have to point out that he said that. I just think that if they don't clean that up, oh boy. That was a mess.
Yeah, because the running backs at Duke are better. Offensive line's better. So we'll see next week how much they clean that up. But Will Holmes did tell me at halftime, Bobby Houck told him they're tackling like crap. Like, that was the only thing he had an issue with. He otherwise thought they were getting disruption. I mean, you had six quarterback hits tonight. They were in the backfield a lot, six tackles for loss. You mentioned Ian Ray, great sack on a stunt. He had two tackles for loss. But big hit in this game, Joey. I talked to an Illinois staffer before the game and asked, who are you excited to see before this one? And he told me, Will Holmes. Now we see why. Like, this guy was – Illinois needs a disruptor, man. And we think it's going to be Joe Barna. But it sure looked – and Joe had some good moments tonight. But Will Holmes was by far the most disruptive guy out there. He looked like a man amongst boys, which he's, what, 24, 25 years old. It was only his third year playing football. The stat line doesn't look crazy because he had five tackles, a tackle, and a half a tackle for loss.
The pressures are going to look crazy.
Three quarterback hits. I counted at least five pressures, and he was the guy who got the pick six. He said he hoped it was a strip sack. He wanted a strip sack with that one. He was a one-man wrecking crew at times, and this is a defensive line that doesn't have one proven yet. We think Barna can be that guy. I thought Farrell was pretty good tonight, but if Will Holmes can be a consistent disruptor, boy, what an addition that is.
Yeah, I'm with you. Really interesting, his kind of the way that he's been discussed and viewed since getting here in the offseason. Spring ball, he was a linebacker. I would assume, now understanding this defense more, probably a Mike, if I had to guess, just in terms of
he told me that.
Yeah, that makes sense then. So he was that, then they kind of realized, like, hey, I maybe space it, and for you, go get the quarterback. And I don't know how much reluctance there was, maybe some reluctance, but that paid off. And then in the fall, it's like Will Holmes, Will Holmes, Will Holmes. And you really had to take stock of it there. And now you see why he, and I think that also is part of this defense. Like, I thought the defensive line, we knew coming into this, they were going to have opportunity to be disruptors. Will Holmes took full advantage of that. I am really fascinated to see the pressures because for as bad as there were in terms of tackling and just the run defense, man, when some of those blitzes were going and some of those guys were able to get back there, that was like very tantalizing, even if it led to, honestly, a couple of the passes were just prayers, right? That they just chucked down there in the face of pressure. So that was really good. And Will Holmes was really at the front of that, that defensive pressure and getting in the face of the quarterback.
I thought that Hauk was pretty vanilla, a little bit more vanilla than I thought early in this game, Joey. They had like two deep safeties, it felt like, for most of the first half. And, Matt Bailey, kudos to him for cleaning up a lot of the linebackers' mess. He had some devastating hits tonight, but he had to make them. I thought he had a really strong performance tonight. But like it just felt like the secondary wasn't getting very involved in the game. And then Bobby Hauk in the second half just said, screw this shit. let's get after the quarterback. We got to get after him. And they put some big hits on Burton, and credit to him. He made some nice plays, scrambling, made some nice plays, throwing it while he was getting hit. But I thought he got a lot more aggressive, and I felt like that was more what we'll see against Duke and teams like that, because it just felt like they were just trying to keep things in front of them a little bit tonight and not show Duke very much. I thought in the second half we saw a little bit more of like what Bobby Hauk's actually going to do with those pressure packages. It felt like way more 5-6-man pressure packages in that second half.
Yeah, you definitely saw that ramp up there. And I think, one, it was, I don't know, out of necessity just to really get UAB a little uncomfortable back there. And UAB was starting to get in some more obvious passing downs too. And that helped. That end of half, beginning of second half, those two touchdowns allowed – I think some of those blitzes to happen because you knew they were going to pass the ball. But I also think, and we said it before the game, I think he wanted to show a little bit. I think he wanted to show Duke just a little bit. Like, hey, we will bring some heat. We will bring guys from different spots. And, be curious to go back and watch the film and see how many guys actually came, how many different guys. But I'm sure it was a few. I think that was some intentional stuff too. But definitely the way the game ended up leveling out about midway through that third quarter, you got a lead. You know they're going to be aggressive and throwing and go get them. And that was easily the most encouraging part of the night defensively.
Just felt like Matthew Bailey and some of those linebackers got after the quarterback a little bit more. Like the Mike's going to rush the passer most of the time, but seeing some of those other linebackers blitz and get Matthew Bailey involved. Didn't see a lot of Xavier Scott get involved. He had cramps in the first half, but most of that secondary wasn't tested outside of Tywan Cox. They threw at Tywan Cox quite a bit. They knew out of those DBs that he was the greenest of the bunch. I thought the secondary held up pretty well outside of Cox giving up that one play. Which
he bounced DB. Back well.
He did. He That's what I was about really to say, well.
Yeah. Yeah. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off on that, but I thought that for a young DB who was in his real first playing time, he didn't play a game last year, to bounce back after that, I thought that was a big deal. But we also need to address easily the surprise of the night, him basically splitting cornerback two reps with Jaquan Morris. That is not, I think, what we heard all the Tywan Cox buzz and excitement. I saw him warming up with the ones before the game. Jaquan Morris got the start. That was not something I thought we were going to see tonight. Such a serious split of those two guys. I'm really intrigued to talk to Bobby Hauk, Brett Bielema about that, because that was a shock. And, you thought maybe if there was going to be someone taking those reps, maybe Nick Hankins would have been the one to step in there. So the Tywan Cox buzz was justified in the sense of he played a lot more than we thought. And I just – hats off to him for bouncing back after that. He almost had a pick on a deep ball going the other way. And, they were testing him, and he'll be better off for it, but played a lot more than I thought.
I am interested to see the snaps between those two. I'm also interested in seeing the snaps with the linebackers. It felt like a lot less Moragan after the first couple series, and it felt like a lot less Conte kind of towards the back end of the stretch. Like Grant Bierman got a lot more reps later in this game. Felt like they were trying to figure out what they have there, Joey, in their two deep. And Jack Paris played a lot, I thought, in the second half.
Yeah, Jack Paris. You mentioned Will Holmes, very justified. I thought Ian Rea had a really, really good showing, especially, we sat here and talked about, okay, no Daniel Brown. We knew it was going to be Moragan, but I wouldn't be surprised if Ian played more snaps than Moragan once we see what all those look like, unless they might even be updated. I'll look after I finish this point. But Illinois needed that because Jacob Alexander was not dressed for this game. So it's, you start getting down the list a little bit. No Daniel Brown, no Alexander. You really just had two mics. I think that you would probably have felt very comfortable going out there, and that was Moragan and Ian Rea. So let's see. Moragan played 42 and Rea played 40. Those
sounds about right.
Yeah, that checks out real quick. Let me look at the snap counts for Tywan Cox. Played 33 snaps. Jaquan Morris played 37. It's about right. I didn't think that split was going to happen, and I really wasn't. The Rea one surprises me a little less because he was so productive at his last stop, and Moragan had just been not quite proven yet. But yeah, I mean, I think you see this even when Daniel Brown comes back at a TBD time. Kind of hard to probably keep Rea out of some of those packages, and they're clearly comfortable rotating that mic spot.
All right, before we get to some more hits and misses, I want to tell you guys about our great sponsor. Game Day Spirit Back is a sponsor of the Illini Inquirer podcast. We love them. You guys should check them out because they have the best array of Illini gear, and you need that wardrobe updated. Game Day Spirit is the place to do it. Game Day Spirit loaded with fresh Illini gear, including Final Four gear to commemorate Illini basketball's great run, new Illini football t-shirts, and of course all the latest NIL gear. You can get merch of any of the 100 plus players in the Illini football roster, including jerseys and jerseys, also some great NIL gear of the Illini basketball players. Game Day Spirit makes it easy with their amazing production and two convenient store locations in town at the corner of 6th and Green in Campus Town and at the corner of Neil and Kirby in Champaign. You can also shop with them online 24/7 at gamedayspirit.com. And now, just for Illini Inquirer listeners, they're offering an exclusive discount off your next online purchase with them. Use code GAMEDAY15 at checkout for 15% off your next purchase online at GAMEDAYSPIRIT.com. That's GAMEDAY15 for 15% off your next order at GAMEDAYSPIRIT.com. That's brought to you by the official fan store of the Fighting Illini, Game Day Spirit. All right, Joey, I'll let you have this one. What's a hit or miss you got?
It's Caden Hauser. It was a hit. I mean, we just sat there and belabored the point about the defense. Caden Hauser looked really, really good, even though he didn't have to throw the ball an awful lot. He was 13 of 17 passing. Two of those were drops, and I think the other two were
throwaways
with a little bit of pressure in his face. One, it looked like Micah Matalau didn't get around on the pole, and the other looked like there was some miscommunication with TJ McMillan at the line of scrimmage. He came in for Brandon Henderson, who left the game with an injury, but I thought he just looked sensational. 182 yards, three touchdowns. He ran in for a touchdown, showed his legs a little bit more than what I thought he would do. But some of the passes he made, the first touchdown pass to Colin Dixon was wide open. The whole UAB defense bit on a Braden Trimble screen. And then obviously the Ty Robinson touchdown, which was a hell of a cannon by Caden Hauser to get the ball into the end zone, even for a chance for one of those batted around, you know, Hail Mary completions. But he had just a real missile into Colin Dixon for a touchdown. And that was kind of what we saw in that open practice, right? Where he trusts exactly what he was seeing and he just fired it in there. And they were very excited about Caden Hauser all off season. I see why. Like he looked really, really, really good tonight.
Yeah. It looked like a guy who's done this for 3 years, hasn't it? Like it just looked like a guy who's been through all these situations. Being in this stadium did not spook him. Being in front of this big crowd, the pressure of being QB1, none of it phases him. And I felt like if I were Illinois, I just trusted him when the ball was in his hands. I was like, he's got this. I don't worry about it. He can go win us this game, even as UAB was staying around in this game. I just thought his decisions were great, Joey. He was incredibly accurate. As you said, two drops, two throwaways under pressure. He was 13 to 17. Like he was great accuracy-wise. His timing is impeccable, and he showed his strong arm too. But just the command. It's just a command, a poise of a guy that's been there. And that's why you went into the portal and got a guy. And Joey, to be honest with you, this is my case to go get a quarterback every year in the transfer portal. It's because, you know, you can go with a younger guy, but you're going to deal with those growing pains. Even Luke Altmyer, you deal with those growing pains for a year. Caden Hauser's ready-made, man. I don't know if you can get a Hauser every year or a DeVito every year, but Illinois should be able to go get a guy like that every year. But, like, he's going to give you a chance to win games, right? Like, it's just – the poise, the command, the experience. That's why going and getting a guy like that is worth all the money that they pay him.
Yeah, and I really think the time that I would like to see them trust him a little bit more was when UAB backed them up with that punt at the two, and you go three straight runs, and it looked like on third they brought out 11 personnel, and you thought maybe they were going to trust him. I would like to see him just try to find Colin Dixon. That quick slant to Dixon where Dixon just boxes out the cornerback and fights for some yards, I like that play. I think Caden Hauser likes that route and has that trust with Colin Dixon. I would like to see them on that drive. Let the quarterback try to put something together, especially with the way that your defense was struggling to get off the field, clearly tired, it was hot. Like ultimately worked out okay for Illinois, but that was a chance I would like to see Hauser let it rip a little bit.
Can I go off of that and give you a miss with Hauser? Yeah. You heard me in the press box, Joey. That fourth and one, like a delayed handoff, like took a while to get to Jordan Anderson. Listen, I know Jordan Anderson was like 10 for 10 in these opportunities last year. You now have a 6'2", 225-pound quarterback, or 6'3", or whatever Caden Hauser is, 225 pounds. You don't have a skinny quarterback anymore. Run the quarterback sneak. Like put the ball in his hands and just move forward. UAB did it several times tonight. It was Barry Loney had a good game. I hated that call. I absolutely hated that call. I said it before the play. I was like, just sneak it. You have the quarterback to do it. So I hope in the future they just let Caden Hauser do it. Like, I think it's like a 3% chance quarterbacks get hurt on quarterback sneaks. Like, I'll take those odds.
Yeah, I thought we'd see that a little bit just because he's bigger. That whole series, remember the third down was that fake handoff to Anderson, pitch to Lawford. Kind of felt like going in 21. Those two plays felt married together with each other on that. Just give it to Caden Hauser and let him fight for an extra yard or so.
All right, you got another hit, Joey?
Colin Dixon. He looked like wide receiver one.
I don't have a sign, but this would be it if I had it.
I was really, really impressed with what he did. Obviously, the first touchdown pass, the easiest touchdown he'll ever catch. I mean, he's wide open. But the way that Hauser trusted him, kind of exactly what we thought with Colin Dixon, wasn't it? Those passes between 6 and 13, 14 yards, just that short, intermediate game. Just let him get the ball, be physical, get some yards after the catch. He did those things, and I was really impressed with him. He finished 6 receptions, 70 yards, 2 touchdowns. The second touchdown, it's just a beautifully placed ball, a beautiful catch, just to make sure you're the only one who can get that football. It's been a pretty good long run here of wide receivers at Illinois, and Colin Dixon, one game against UAB, and I understand that, but there's also a body of work that we saw last year. He just looks like he's ready to kind of follow that Pat Bryant production blueprint, and this first game's exactly kind of what I expected out of him, but no doubt who Caden Hauser trusts with the ball the most, and that's Colin Dixon.
Same thing, same word I'll use with Hauser that you just used with Dixon as well. It's trust. I just trust Colin Dixon's going to do the right thing, and it's clear that Caden Hauser believes that in Colin Dixon. Like, that's the guy he trusts. And, Joey, you can tell Colin Dixon's the one wide receiver that has stayed healthy this entire time with Caden Hauser, right? Like, just all the work they've gotten together. Brett Bielema said Colin Dixon's always standing right next to Hauser, so he knows to build that camaraderie with him. But it's clear that has been built over the last 9 months. And I talked to Colin about, hey, I know you probably don't think this way, but I would imagine he does. He saw Pat Bryant and how he emerged and the way he went about his business. And Colin has said, that's how I made my routine, is I saw Pat Bryant do this. And he saw Hank Beatty and how he elevated from a rotation player to the go-to guy. Colin Dixon looks like a guy ready to be that go-to guy and elevate there. And he's got that trust. He's got the work ethic. He obviously voted a team captain. The physical tools aren't elite, but, man, you can trust him to run the right route. He's going to be on time. He's going to catch the ball when you throw it to him. 6 targets, 6 catches today. He's just trustworthy, and that's why he's going to get a boatload of targets this year.
Yeah, the physical tools, that's the conversation we're talking about the next level, because right now those are enough to be a really good college football wide receiver, and that's what Colin Dixon, I think, is turning into. And when you got to trust your quarterback, man, and you kind of look around, and Hudson Clement just got back into practice. Braden Trimble had a couple moments tonight where he looked like he was playing the first real reps of his college football career. Yeah, you want to go to the guy that you know has been there and done that. Braden Trimble, 1 catch for 11 yards. But, yeah, that it's a good spot to be when your quarterback trusts you like Hauser does Dixon.
All right, another hit. got to go Khalil Valentine, right? I mean, those two back-to-back runs basically had 17 yards. I thought Jake Renfro had a great block, but great burst from Khalil Valentine to get to the corner. And I think it was just an inside zone where he was just so patient, Joey. Matalau and Christian Martin threw some great blocks, got to the second level, and he took advantage of that one, served that second gear with a 51-yard touchdown run. We talk about the run game a little bit after that, but those are the explosive plays that you expect with Khalil Valentine. So feed five, as we said in the preview podcast, let's not overthink this. Like, Khalil Valentine is an engine of this offense. So when he got the opportunities from his offensive line, he made the most of those running lanes.
He looked like he had some juice. So did Aiden Loughery. But the juice that Khalil Valentine has, the gear he was able to hit, that 51-yard touchdown, obviously you saw him win a foot race down the sideline. That's the biggest thing for me, was the patience to let that play develop. I don't think he's doing that a year ago, to let that all manifest in front of him. Shout out, I think that was the left side. I think that was Matalau and Christian Martin who really paved the way for that. That was just a veteran running back play and patience to let that set up. So I thought he looked really, really good. I thought Aiden Loughery, the yardage wasn't there. It's like just a little shy of 30 yards. But I thought he had that burst too. I thought he looked like they looked aggressive. I think that's something we talked about with Tyrone Wheatley and what his impact could be on this running back room. Aggressive in the sense of jump cutting and going. Yeah. Aggressive in the sense of just, okay, I see that, I'm going to get there. And whatever happens after that happens after that. So that was a big takeaway for me. It was just how comfortable those two looked. It's trusting what they see and pressing it and letting it go. And for Khalil Valentine, it turned into 80 rushing yards and a 51-yard touchdown, or 88 rushing yards maybe.
Yeah, 88 on 11. He was 8 yards short of his career high. I thought he was going to get his 100, but didn't go to him very much late in the game. I do want to mention Loughery with the 17-yard catch. I thought there was some burst on that one, right? So getting them involved in the passing game, I think, is going to be interesting just because of the wide receiver injuries that they have. I do want to mention, we didn't mention this with Caden Hauser. Not an oak tree, Joey. Like, there was some good movement with his legs, both in eluding some potential sacks. I thought he got away from two. I think there was only two pressures in this game from the offensive line, but he got out of some sack opportunities there. But also, three runs for 29 yards, a 16-yard scramble, Joey, a 6-yard touchdown run on a scramble. He looked athletic, and those plays are going to matter. How often were Luke Altmaier's legs the reason Illinois prolonged a key drive late in a game? Like, Caden Hauser showed me more mobility and speed and athleticism than I thought he had.
Yeah, not an oak tree if you're new, I guess we should address. That was a Rod Smith describing Brandon Peters, who was more oak tree than Caden Hauser is, I think. But so that's kind of the running joke with that. But yeah, I thought that's something that I do wonder, and I should have – we only had a couple minutes with Caden and I, it was midnight. I do wonder if that was part of the topic in his development is, hey, well – you know, we've utilized quarterbacks' legs here and when done so with success. It's something we think we can tap into at the right times with you, because it's a good way to keep the defense honest and really let Caden Hauser go out and sneak a few yards.
Yeah, I thought that was a key point. All right, anything else you got? I got a couple of small things here.
Yeah, I had Matthew Bailey. We can talk about him in a second, but I do want special teams. Macrosetic, really, with that punt return, we wondered who it was going to be without Jayshon Platt. I thought it was going to be Eddie Casper. That was a guy that we saw in the open practice. Macrosetic confidently takes that and, you know, go after he had the issues 2 years ago.
Yeah, shout out to Caleb Griffin. We got a little text thread with Caleb Griffin a couple months ago. He's like, hey, is Macrosetic the guy at punt return? He was really good before he had the fumble problems in his freshman year. Is that his freshman year?
Yeah, because it was Beatty had Hank 2 Beatty, years. Right? No, it was sophomore year, because okay, Beatty was last year and the year before, and this is Mac's fourth year in college. So I would have been.
But Beatty didn't take over as punt returner 2 years ago until Mac had a couple fumbles, right?
Right, that would have been his sophomore year. Yeah. If my math is mathing right here. So just to do that confidently, I thought was a big deal. You would have liked to see, I don't even know what you do if you're Macrosetic. It looked like a shank, that UAB punt that ultimately pinned them. And I don't really know if you can safely go over there. I do prefer to not let it bounce in those situations. That's scary, and it ultimately hurt Illinois. You end in the Lars Rau, who won the punting job. His punt didn't have as much hang time. Maybe you would have liked to come out of that.
But still some missed tackles on that one.
Yeah, Khalil Valentine had a good return to set up ultimately that Hail Mary to Ty Robinson at the end of the first half. So I just thought overall I was okay with how that went. Not a lot of punting opportunity for Lars Rau, but I did like enough of what I saw out of that.
Machowski kicked the ball well, made, you know, with his kickoffs, which has never been an issue for him. I do want to say a miss for me. I thought the running game after the first quarter was lackluster. I think they had 62 yards on like 24 carries after the first quarter. So I just thought there were some misses in the gap scheme. As you said, Micah Matalau missed a couple pull blocks, and I just didn't think they got as consistent of a push. And I'll be honest, Brandon Henderson's injury a little concerning. Got rolled up late in the game. Saw TJ McMillan come in, and TJ struggled a little bit. There were a couple plays where he gave up some pressures there, so that was a little bit concerning. Caden Fagan and Braden Trimble would like to see a little bit more from them. I know it's just a first game, but Caden didn't feel like he played a ton. 12 snaps in this game. Braden Trimble had to drop. At least he got the screen pass and got an 11-yard. Kane there, but like there's not a lot of depth of weapons. I'd like to see those guys get some production here.
Yeah, I'm with you. I obviously thought, you know, my bold prediction was Caden Fagan, which was ultimately far, far too bold. No catches for him. I do think, though, the game didn't really lend itself to going away from what you were comfortable doing. What you were comfortable doing was Khalil Valentine, Colin Dixon. That's pretty much it, right?
Letting a weird game where you have 44 snaps for your offense.
Yeah, now
a weird game.
I'm not trying to minimize your point because I'm with you. I would have liked to see a little bit more opportunity for those guys, but you know, I don't know. We'll see. It's also Caden Fagan's first game at tight end. Braden Trimble, you mentioned the drop. I think there was also one he may have missed a block at one point earlier, but that screen pass. I mean, he showed some burst there to fight for those 11 yards.
I don't know if we're going to swing all the way back down to pumping the brakes on Caden Fagan, but when he had 12 snaps and Devin Stoffel had 11, I'm like, maybe we should pump the brakes a little more. Maybe your inclination was right, Joey.
I got caught. A lot of ball game left. A lot of ball game. I do think that the answer, if we're being honest, is somewhere between pump the brakes and also pumping the brakes a little bit, right? Like, I do think that the engine got moving a little too fast in the last 2.5 weeks. We probably should have ramped it up a little bit, but not accelerated it like we did in terms of what we thought. Maybe that statement won't age well. I don't know. We'll see. But I would like to see a catch. You know, I would like to see a target for Caden Fagan tonight.
The other thing I don't like, miss, didn't get QB2 in the game. Who is that? I don't know.
It's Carson Boyd. He came out for the knee. He came out and took the victory formation. But yeah, you would have liked the chance to let him throw a pass. To you, go ahead with your point. I thought this was a fascinating pregame thing to watch.
Yeah, so like when the quarterbacks come out, the starting quarterback takes snaps from the starting center, right? So Jake Renfro snapping to Caden Hauser, and always the backup quarterback, like last year, Ethan Hampton would take snaps from TJ McMillan, and basically only TJ McMillan. Well, Carson Boyd came out, took the snaps from TJ McMillan. So I'm like, oh, there's your backup quarterback. Not a big surprise. But then about 2 minutes later, Michael Clayton comes over and takes backup snaps from TJ McMillan. I'm like, oh, Brett's just screwing with us now. Or is it still a battle? I mean, Brett didn't really answer like who's exactly. I think it's Carson Boyd if he had to come to a game now and just play relief quarterback. But if Caden Hauser were out for a couple games, maybe it's Michael Clayton. We continue that intrigue, and we didn't get an answer tonight to see if Boyd would get more than just the kneel down.
Yeah, I like to think of Bielema and the staff looking over at us, scribbling notes when we're trying to hit quarterback two, Carson Boyd. And
got him.
Yeah, the fact that it's still a conversation, I think ultimately you'd like it to not be, right? You would have liked to have that a lot more solidified right now. But the fact that they swapped over there, it's the same thing that happened with Tywan Cox and Jaquan Morris in the warmups. They swapped out. You got to take stock of that. It's a little thing, and it's something that maybe doesn't matter, 30% of the time, but you got to see it because I think it's telling. And the way that Illinois runs thing, also just it's 1:15, 1:20 in the morning. Saphir Stewart, third center. If you were keeping tabs of who you think could be the third center on this roster, it's Saphir Stewart.
Lars Rau, holder. Mark that down if you need that one.
You got long snapper news too.
Yeah, Patrick McConey. I didn't look on the punt. Who is the snapper on the punt? Was it Mahoney? I didn't see. I need to go check that out.
Could not begin to tell you.
Number one thing on my film session. Who's the long snapper on the punt? All right, Michael, $10 super chat. We're going to get out of here quickly. The worst tackling since the Lovey era. Who also didn't practice tackling? What a surprise. Jay Lamb is very passionate about this. And I become more passionate about it because Ben Johnson, my guy, Joey, likes tackling a lot in practice and being physical. Injuries be damned. So whatever Ben Johnson does, I'm going to buy into. So, yeah, but I get it, Joey. This is not a deep team, and you'd already lost Daniel Brown. I get why they want to lose another linebacker here. Grant Bierman missed a bunch of time. Robert Edmondson missed a bunch of time.
You maybe didn't want to lose another receiver, too.
Yeah.
I do believe, and it wasn't updated on the roster. I need to ask. I do think RJ Jones has switched his number to 9 and is now playing wide receiver, former defensive back, which moves Almirion Thomas up the list. But, yeah, you got to practice it. And I understand why Brett said they dialed it back. I don't – the results tonight are just like, man, that is rough. That's an enormous amount of missed tackles. Maybe you knew you could get away with it against UAB. Brett kind of indicated that a little bit. But that was ugly. It was really ugly. Now it just leaves a lot to clean up. You got a little longer of a prep to do it for Duke, but you've got to clean that up quickly or you're going to have a lot of problems with Duke.
Yeah, and Brett Bielema said, this defensive staff's going to have to, get in the room and make some adjustments here and make some teaching points. But he didn't seem too concerned about, like, the play calling and the scheme and all that. He just seemed like the execution of tackling, which is kind of what I've thought, Joey. It's like, I don't have a lot of questions about, can this scheme work? Yeah, I think any scheme can work if it's run well and you have good talent. My question is the talent in that front six and the lack of experience in that front six. So it's going to be the question mark heading into the Duke game and a much bigger test, Joey, to show it. But I don't have a lot of questions about this offense. I didn't think the offensive line had a great night, but I thought it was solid to good. I mean, we expect some growing pains there, but I thought the offense looked pretty dang good. Just a couple drives. You like to stay in the field a little bit longer, but 42 points and 44 plays, pretty damn good. But defensively is where most of the concerns are.
Yeah, I have very little questions about the offense. And I think really even contextually, I didn't have any concern about the offensive line, given those four new starters. Some of those guys are playing, let's say just really three of those guys, Kanapik, Christian Martin, and Micah Madelow, are playing their real first significant. And I know Kanapik played in the bowl game, but like that matters. And so I don't have a ton of fear over that. I thought in terms of a group that we know needs to gel, that was fine by me. So that, yeah, offensively, I don't have much concern. Defensively, I'm still really fascinated by the scheme and the pressure they can dial up. And I would have felt a lot better if you cut a third of those missed tackles out. I think we're having a way different tone on this because I think that you just would have been able to understand maybe the push and pull of what this scheme is, right? Like, okay, we know the missed tackles are going to happen. We know bigger plays are going to happen, but damn, they had this many, like you could really feel that pressure coming in. And it's just, it's hard to look past some of those missed tackles. Maybe in a week, 10 days, we're not talking about it because it's a lot more clean against Duke, but right now it's really hard to turn away from.
It's really weird because most of this stuff happened in the first half. It was hot, man. It was really hot out there, and they had 82 defensive snaps. But, like, the longer this game went, the better I thought they tackled. So that was kind of weird. I don't think it was just they got tired, so they didn't tackle as well. But, man, they had to play a lot of snaps and over again, Joey, in that first half when it was – I mean, the sun was down. It was only 82 degrees at kickoff, but it felt like it was 95 degrees down there.
Yeah, it was brutal. And I think the second half, again, there was a lot more complimentary football. Your offense sustained longer drives. And two, you were forcing them into some tougher, some obvious throwing situations. And they had to go away from the run. That was the best thing that could happen for Illinois. If you can force teams into obvious throwing scenarios, I feel okay about what this can do because they can get back there. Some of the completions, like, yeah, he had 200-plus passing yards. Some of those were just heaves and prayers that worked out, or he was getting absolutely, bared down on with pressure. You can live with some of that. But, yeah, the run, a lot, the missed tackles really were in the run game, and they were really disheartening.
All right, you got anything else? I think that's
about it. Kyle, do you see Kyle from Champaign? I don't know if you can find that comment here.
Okay. Wait,
maybe I can do a show. Hey, I did it. Hey. Kyle from Champaign asked about the scoreboard.
Oh, yeah. Is that a hit tonight? I think it's a hit. I think we can lean into it. The scoreboard's really cool. Like it is really cool. I just think we could have used a few less tweets about it from us media.
Yes.
It's cool. It's a big deal. I think I think for the students, who kudos to the students, man, they just showed up in droves. It's a thirsty Thursday. I'm sure they were having a good time out there, but like they get to look at that thing the entire game. Like I think it adds to the experience, but I was more interested in what was happening on the field, but it does make the game day experience better, Joey.
Yeah. I was very crusty and complaining about the scoreboard, not about what it is. The coverage of it was like it was the college football playoff semifinal. It was far too much. It was entirely – I don't care. It was too much. It was stuff that is actually happening on the field in training camp we need to ask about. You get here, it is absolutely – it enhances the game day experience. It's a novelty. It's cool. The lights they do with it, all the way they're able to pair that, it's really, really cool. I'm glad that we're kind of like taking a pause on, oh, my God, the scoreboard, social medias – and just like, yeah, that was sick. It's really cool. I think people will really enjoy it. Let's talk about what's happening on the field. So I know that's more of a, to be honest, it's more of a media rant than it is a scoreboard rant. Let's just take a breath and acknowledge it's cool and talk about the game.
I did think it was cool. Like if the opponent kicks a field goal into there, they just had yellow behind it. So it's really hard to see the goalpost. I thought that was pretty cool. A lot of orange, a lot of flashing lights. So if you're susceptible to seizures, I would not come and get a game here. But no, I thought the light, it reminded me of Purdue when Purdue added those lights. It's got a really cool light show. And I think the biggest thing for fans might be that the Wi-Fi works really well now. Like you can actually be connected to the internet.
You'll note our game threads were a lot more. I mean, people were angry about the defense. I get it. But yeah, you can actually like talk to the outside Memorial Stadium world when you're at the game now. So that is a positive in-game enhancement.
By the way, great comment from a fan I saw in the elevator. Big fan of our podcast, Joey. But she said, Kyle is doing a great job and is a cutie patootie. So I thought that was a great compliment for Kyle.
It was, you know, he is doing a great job. He honestly is. And that is very good. I was like, it was really cool at the Final Four, like to see, because that was Kyle's first experience out in the wild, really. A lot of people were really complimentary, justifiably so, of Kyle. He is
way better than I was at his age, man. Way ahead of where I was at his age. Unbelievable.
Way better than I am right now. I will give Kyle that. Kyle is it's really good. I'm glad he got his flowers and it's called a real cutie patootie. That's
cutie patootie. And it was from a lady that I think it's just like, yeah, could be Kyle's grandmother. Like
he should put that in his Twitter bio. Ball knower, certified cutie patootie.
That's right. All right, we appreciate everybody staying up past, God, it's almost 1:30 here. We appreciate you guys. If you're watching on YouTube, hit that like button, subscribe, and hit the notifications bell. We really appreciate you. Joey, hand update, how's it doing?
Bad.
Battling?
Yeah, it's not fun. I got 8 stitches put in. I cut it on a Rotel can when I was trying to clean up after making some dip. So
I've been there, man. Not a Rotel can, but I've had a kitchen incident where sliced the handle, but not as deeply as you did though. It's injury, people. Like he is playing hurt.
It's just really uncomfortable. I've never had stitches before. So that's kind of got to learn all the ins and outs of that. Just at a bad spot. It's like right over where your thumb bends. So I'm like trying to write really poorly. I'm like the only person who isn't 94 years old in the press box who still pins and papers it. And it really came to roost today when I had to fight my way through that.
You and Lawrence 8. Hey, I write a lot of stuff down. I just don't do play-by-play all the time. I just write some notes. But
well, I have to do the play-by-play because, frankly, I'm too stupid to focus if I can't. If I'm not writing it down, I'll start wandering around. And
I'm just happy you have a thumb still, man. That was close to not having a thumb.
Yeah, it was not good. It sucked. I mean, I went to the urgent care and like, can you move your thumb? I said, yeah. They go, oh, well, that's good. Yeah, I guess it must be.
Yeah. So happy the Rotel can did not render you useless to Illini Inquirer moving forward.
Oh yeah, I would have been canned.
Call it.
All right. Can't get any better than that. All right. Thank you to everybody listening for the Illini Choir podcast. Give us a follow, rating, review wherever you get your podcasts. Don't forget, if you're not a VIP member, 75% off a VIP deal now. We'll be busy through the night writing for you guys. Got plenty more coming at IlliniEnquirer.com. But for Joey Wagner, I'm Jeremy Warner. Everybody have a great day. Take care of each other. We'll talk to you next time right here on the Illini Choir podcast.
Bye, everybody.
Sunday, the NFL on CBS is back with an electrifying Week 1 doubleheader. I'll see you on Sunday. The early slate features Josh Allen and the Bills taking on C.J. Stroud and the Texans in Houston. Then, it's a classic NFC North battle as Jordan Love and the Packers visit the Vikings. It's a touchdown! It all kicks off at noon Eastern with the NFL Today, live in Minnesota. See you Sunday with the NFL on CBS and streaming on Paramount+.